Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, Pod Shots.
This thing, it's gonna follow you. Somebody gave it to me, and I passed it to you. Back in the car. It could look like someone you know, or it could be a stranger in a crowd. Whatever helps it get close to you. It can look like anyone, but there's only one of it.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Pod Shots. I am your host, Eric Williams. For this episode, we are discussing the 2014 film It Follows. The film was written and directed by David Robert Mitchell, and here to discuss the film with me is returning guest, Mr. Cameron Rice.
Hello.
Before getting into our discussion, I would like to mention that this podcast is brought to you by the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. And we would also like to mention that Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership, if I can spit it out. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs, download a title for free, and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. All right, Mr. Rice, are you doing the coffee and et cetera as per usual?
No, because I'm on vacation.
Oh, all right. What do you have?
Not to worry about work. I'm having a Shock Top Honey Bourbon Cask Wheat.
And how is that?
It's good.
I believe Anel had just talked about that yesterday.
Oh,
okay. She had that at a tailgate and said that it was good.
It's refreshing. I mean, granted, it's probably much better in like really hot weather.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to fall cool weather, but whatever, I'll take it. It's a beer, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it seemed like, tailgating when you're not tasting much was a good choice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Said it was good. I am also having a beer I'm having from my favorite brewery, the Lagunitas Brewing Company. I'm having just the plain old Lagunitas IPA.
Mm.
It's kind of as straightforward as they get. I don't know. It's one that we toured when I was in Chicago and gained an even higher appreciation for than I already had. So it's a good one. All right.
Yeah, I'll admit, I pretty much just grabbed what was in my fridge. It was between that or the Tecate we give away at my comedy show.
I think you made the right choice there. Okay. So with that, we are ready to begin the discussion on our 2014 film, It Follows.
I used to daydream about being old enough to go on dates. I had this image of myself holding hands with a really cute guy, driving along some pretty road. It's never about going anywhere, really. It's having some sort of freedom, I guess.
Jay, are you awake?
What did you do?
You're not gonna believe me, and I need you to remember what I'm saying.
This thing, it's gonna follow you. Somebody gave it to me, and I passed it to you.
Wherever you are, it's somewhere, walking straight for you. All you can do is pass it along to someone else.
I'm scared. I need to find him.
What did he really do to you?
He used a fake name to rent a house in the city.
This isn't real. I swear to you, this is just some game.
If it kills her, it gets me. And goes straight down the line whoever started it.
What exactly is supposed to be following you?
I don't know.
Something happened. That's not what she thinks, okay?
You don't believe me. Mom? No, it's me. Everything's okay.
It could look like someone you know, or it could be a stranger in a crowd. Whatever helps it get close to you.
And the IMDb plot synopsis for the film goes like this. For 19-year-old Jay, autumn should be about school, boys, and weekends out at the lake. But after a seemingly innocent sexual encounter, she finds herself plagued by strange visions and the inescapable sense that someone, something, is following her. Faced with this burden, Jay and her friends must find a way to escape the horrors that seem to be only a few steps behind. And as far as IMDb goes, that one wasn't too bad. I was I was pretty surprised and pleased.
As far as the IMDb scale goes, it's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, when it says, I don't know, it's a movie about some people dying and stuff. That's like usually the quality that we have.
This is true.
For IMDb. Okay, so this was a film that you brought to me, Cameron. What, how did you come upon It Follows, and when did you first watch it, and your history and all of that?
Kind of like what we talked about, the Babadook on the last episode. This was me just kind of trailer browsing and, coming across this. And, you know, I try to pay attention whenever, Fantastic Fest or TIFF or any of those festivals are going on, and what's the genre stuff everyone's talking about. And like a couple of years ago, The Raid was the movie everyone was talking about. You know, like what are those films? And, there was a lot of talk about It Follows. And by the time I had heard about it, it was actually just about to come out, to the Arcolite Theater. Cause one of the benefits of living in LA is you get a lot of stuff pretty early. Or
at all.
Yeah. So I saw it was coming to the Arcolite. And so I texted my improv team and I was like, we should go see this. This looks great. We went opening night and the theater was packed, which is a great way to see a horror movie on opening night, especially a horror movie that like isn't like Saw 6 where everyone kind of knows what they're going to get.
Sure.
And really enjoyed it, really dug it. And so I went and saw it two more times at the theater, taking different groups of friends and, enjoying their reactions when things were happening, picked up the score, picked up the Blu-ray the second it was out. So yeah, clearly really loved it. At the moment, it's pretty much a battle between this and Mad Max as to what's going to make number one of the year for me.
Wow. Though that is high praise. So this, you consider this a 2015 film then, right?
Cause that's when it came out. I think IMDb tends to go by when did it premiere at a festival that three people could have seen.
Yeah. right. That we typically just go by the year that's posted because I don't want to bother correcting IMDb. But anyway, so I guess let me ask you this. With the initial reaction with the large crowd, did people tend to freak out a bit when the really big 7 foot tall guy walked through the door?
Oh yeah.
Because that fucking freaked me out. I did not care for that.
People flipped their lid at that one.
Yeah, it was very much a, oh shit. Like, ooh, no, I don't like that kind of a reaction. Very visceral. I watched this about 2 or 3 days ago. That was my big history with it. It was one that I constantly saw being talked about on Twitter and retweeted and suggested. But unfortunately, with being, you know, a first-year teacher, my schedule has been crazy busy compared to what I'm used to. So I haven't been able to keep up with a lot of films. So when we do Cameron's suggested topic movies we missed again in 2016, there's going to be a lot for me to choose from because there's a lot that I haven't got a chance to see. So I was looking forward to it. I was able to temper my expectations though because I knew nothing about it. Like I didn't read the Netflix description. It comes with, you know, with the disc. I didn't read anything online. I just knew that It Follows was kind of a throwback of a horror film, and that was kind of all that I knew about it.
Right.
And so I was like, great. You know, that's, for me, a horror movie, the more I come in naive or, you know, unencumbered by knowing what the storyline is, the better. And so I think
that's something that benefits horror, whereas, like, action movies, people can talk of action movies all you want, and at the end of the day, I think action just has to hold up and not be too CGI, and it'll maybe live up to the hype. Maybe the movie as a whole won't, but I feel like the action will. Dramas, you're either going to cry or not. But I feel like when horror gets overhyped, people immediately start just thinking of the scariest movie they've ever seen, and they go in before the movie even starts, and, oh, it better be better than this, and blah, 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 you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I spoke to this a little bit last episode about The Babadook, where the first time we watched it, granted, we were intoxicated, but which is most of the problem, if I'm being honest. But some of the problem was that we had heard it was the scariest movie ever, and we saw the William Friedkin, you know, the scariest movie I've ever seen tweet, and we're like, holy shit, you know, this is going to freak us out, and did get the expectations, did let the expectations get the better of us. So that didn't happen, thankfully, with this one. And I'll say that I don't know if it's my favorite movie of the year, but it's definitely a film that I really enjoyed, and it was one that did exactly what it was setting out to do, to where it, you know, it made me think of older horror films. It had little inside things like some names of people and that sort of thing, and it had you know, the impact that it was trying to go for, I feel like, and I was, you know, jumping in my chair and creeped out, and like I said, I was having visceral reactions at times and had a really good time with it. So I was really pleased with how it went. So what's something that you think works particularly well with this movie, Cameron?
I think the simplicity. I think the fact that for the most part the movie keeps things very simple. I know some people did not like that the creature seems to lack rules to some extent, like who it transforms into, at what point, and this, that, and the other. I actually like the fact that if there were any rules, it was the fact that the creature, whatever the it is, has physical limitations.
Mm-hmm.
That it has to break windows and bust in through doors and stuff like that. I like that. I like that it can't walk through walls.
Yeah, it's not like the girl from The Ring.
Yeah, and anything like keeping it, for me, that simple, you can do whatever you want then. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't suddenly fly. It has physical limitations. Beyond that, though, turning into, my mindset was it turns into whatever is like most upsetting or can most lure you in, depending on how angry it might be.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed, I think the score is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Very Halloween-like, I felt like.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is like, for me, the score is very Halloween-like, and this is a film that feels the most, I mean, I mentioned it last episode, but the most like a Nightmare on Elm Street. Where it's like, you have the Johnny Depp-like neighbor, the guy who kind of looks a little bit like Johnny Depp. There's, it's as if like the Nightmare on Elm Street kids grew up past high school, and Freddy came a little bit after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like that, huh? It is. Like, it is a little bit like a mash between Halloween and Freddy with, you know, a different villain.
Yeah. So I really like that, and I like. This is not my interpretation of the movie. The first time I saw it, but I remember reading, it might have been Badass Digest or somebody else, but there's this interpretation of the film that I really loved. And you know, the easy thing is to say this is an STD monster.
Hmm.
That's the easy thing I've seen many people say, is they're like, oh, what if a monster was sexually transmitted disease? It was like a ghost that, you got because you had sex with someone. And that's the easy way to put it. And I totally get that. My favorite interpretation I've seen of this movie is that, the creature essentially, represents, an understanding of your own mortality.
Interesting.
And that, the main character has had sex before, so it's not a losing the virginity thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's now, they're 19, she's done with high school, she's has to become an adult a little bit, and it's just now, when you as a person, as a human being, understand your maturity, and therefore understand your mortality.
Interesting. See, okay, now, I know you teased me about my notes, but what I wrote down for my notes for that is, I think that saying that it's an STD film or that it's about sex is kind of looking at the lowest common denominator, or, you know, attacking the low hanging fruit. Like, I think it's about more than that. I would say that it's, for me, I wrote down that it's the movie's about the loss of innocence or the loss of ignorance. And for me, it was like, once you, regardless of the topic, and obviously your mortality would definitely work, but it's expanding your mind and looking at something in a new way. And you can't go back from that. And the only way that you can, affect, the only thing you can do is impact other people and have other people think the same things that you do or think in the same way that you do. And then they would have that sort of, in this case, thing coming after them, but whether it's knowledge or whatever, just having that sort of spread like a virus, I think is more interesting than to think of it as, oh, it's like herpes or something.
Yeah, because I think that the reason the maturity thing also works for me is then when you look at what the things the characters run towards, the main character, if you look at the creature just as an interpretation of your looming mortality, the first thing she does is go back to an old boyfriend. They go to the YMCA they used to go to as kids.
Yes.
She starts hanging out with her younger sister and friends again. And it's almost that kind of thing you do when you realize you're no longer in high school and you're like, you have to grow up and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die someday.
Well, and how smart is it to have family members be the ones involved as the personification? So it's, oh, mom got him, helicopter mom didn't let him get away and killed him. The Johnny Depp guy. Or, dad couldn't let go, but then she had to, kill, and in this respect, dad, or she thinks, for him to let her go. I just think that works so much better than it. I think it's smarter than people are giving it credit for, I guess. And like I said, I haven't read up on anything after I watched it either, so I'm pretty ignorant in terms of that.
Well, no, but I think I agree. I think sometimes it's like the simplest things can make for the deepest conversations.
Well, yeah, that's why it's so smart to make it simple, right? Is you're allowed to interpret it on your own. It doesn't force feed you and tell you this is explicitly what it is.
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff really worked for me. I also think like the actors in this movie do a hell of a job.
Well, and it's also so nice that it's nobody that I know. So the Johnny Depp type guy is killed by his mom in a horrific scene.
But a scene where it's also you're like, what happened kind of a thing, which I like.
Yeah. I was like, oh no, that didn't, oh man, it was his mom. That's messed up. But I like the fact that, he's dead. Throughout the movie, it's set up so early on that the sort of bookish, nerdy friend that, used to like the main character Jay, that he's going to sleep with her at some point. That's set up pretty early, that he'll definitely take whatever she's got to defend her. And I like that they string that along and play with that. And it's like, no. She's actually made her own decision. Like I know we set this up for you, but she's making her own choice. And then it comes back around at the end. But I kind of like that little swerve in the middle there.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's also just like the fact of just seeing something in the distance walk towards the characters that they don't see and we do. And also just having it be that sometimes stuff is walking towards them and we don't know if it's an it or not.
Yes.
Which also makes for some good comedy, like the scene on the soccer field.
You see that girl?
Yeah.
Yes, that's good. I think that now I've always said, and I'm bringing The Ring up a few times, and I don't think they have a lot to do with each other, but except for this one character in this one scene. But in that film, when Samara, I think is her name, when the evil character in that movie is walking toward the computer or towards the TV from the well, before she gets and like CGIs her way through the TV, that's the most terrifying part of the movie for me, is when she's just slowly walking towards the screen. And I can imagine, being in this theater, watching people walking toward the screen, half dressed or nude. And I can just imagine myself squirming in my chair, because I was definitely doing that in the theater for The Ring. I remember being fairly close up and really being taken in by the film at the time, and was really squirmy and like pushing my shoulders to the back of the chair and really didn't want any part of it. So I can imagine the same thing happened here.
Yeah, this movie's a big time squirmer. It's only got like a couple like I don't mind cheap jump scares, but it's only got a couple, which is like the soccer ball hitting the window when she's in the bathroom. But other than that, everything else is like when she we hear glass break and then she goes downstairs and it's the first time the it is in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the new, like partially nude, messed up looking girl.
Yes.
This is before it becomes the man.
And,
It's all slow, like it's almost shot in like slow motion as it's walking towards her. And you're just, and what's brilliant too is like the movie opens up with, we don't see the it. We just see a young girl trying to get away. And
right.
She runs in a circle and gets in a car. And then we cut to her on the beach. And the next thing we see is her dead body, totally mutilated. So that sets up, we know what this thing is capable of.
Yeah, and how vital is it for the body to not just be dead? Like, that, having that broken leg is so important because you're like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah, this thing doesn't mess around.
So you know that it's not just some guy that's, like, there to rape her or something, or there to just stab her with a knife a few times or something.
You know, yeah, no, it's like gonna, it's almost like, it's not even like a vengeance demon. Like, because the way they kill is the Johnny Depp-like guy, it doesn't nearly do it that brutally. It almost like just like sucks his life out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I kind of like not knowing how this thing is going to kill them. Is it like going to rip them apart, or is it going to like just dry hump them to death?
Right.
So then like, and that comes into play when like it grabs her hair.
Uh huh.
When they're sitting on the beach, as you're like, oh Jesus.
Yeah, because it grabs her hair, and I was under the impression that it was, as soon as it touches them, like, I thought I was taking that literally.
Well, I think that's why it was good to grab the hair, so that wouldn't be questioned in a way.
I see.
And I do like her group of friends, like her younger sister, the other friend, and then the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to ask you this. What do you think of the little palm reader?
What about her?
The little clamshell palm. Not the character, but the clamshell.
I thought you meant the girl that had the thing. I don't know. You know, I think that's one of the big questions that is in the movie is, when are we? Because she has the little device. They have cell phones, at least the girl at the beginning does. But then you have those old TVs and older cars. And so I don't know. I mean, that honestly didn't bother me because it wasn't a big plot point, really. It wasn't like, oh, because she has this device, she solved the case or whatever. It just seemed like a visual homage to something like a Halloween to me, having it all be set in the 70s is what it seemed like. And that, having that little thing, I guess, didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, for some people, that is really a throw off for them. Like, they want to know when the movie takes place. I actually like that because what it does for me is it puts the movie in a timeless time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like. I like that rather than stake a claim and say it's in the 80s, so then you got a bunch of assholes looking at cars, trying to figure out if those cars would be there at that time, and writing stupid internet articles.
Well, actually, if the movie was supposed to be set in 81, that came out in spring of 80. And
these cars were 1983, and oh, they existed back then. That's why It Follows is a bad movie. And, you know, it doesn't have to take place today, so it doesn't need to worry about, like, you know, in 5 years, some stupid internet articles about like the dated technology from horror movies we thought we liked.
Uh-huh.
And crap like that. So deciding to kind of stake a claim in timeless time where it's like, yeah, it kind of feels like it could be the mid 80s or 70s, but there is modern technology and there is cell phones, but also deciding to have the little device kind of be its own thing. Like it's not a Kindle or an Apple iPad or something like that. Like it's something that was kind of created for the movie. So it kind of makes the movie, kind of just puts a stamp on this movie as its own thing.
Yeah, it is, because it what it reminded me of, and what was weird is, you know, some of the kids that I teach read or will read Fahrenheit 451. And there Bradbury talks about how there's little seashells that are in your ears that play music all the time. And the modern equivalent obviously would be headphones. And I'm like, whoa, that's kind of, it's like a little bit like that, to where it's a futuristic thing that's shaped like a seashell. And that, you know, with my current mindset was the first thing that I thought of. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, because a lot of things in Fahrenheit 451 are futuristic that we don't quite have. And so I just thought that whole deal was pretty neat. And I do like that it does seem like, you know what, fuck you. I'm going to make this my own thing. I don't have to bend to any rules about when the time is. You know, it's just like, I'm going to make the movie the way that I want to, and up yours if you think it's a big deal when it's set.
Well, it's that kind of thing. It's the thing about, you know, it's that obsessive nature that you see a lot on the internet of people being concerned about things that aren't plot or story or character.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that truly does not matter to the plot, but because it doesn't matter, it's like you can kind of do whatever you want with it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like that. What do you think of the kids? This is another sticking point for a lot of people. The third act with the pool and everything, the plan.
Oh, how they plan to electrocute it and then it doesn't really work. I think that that's great because it's some scared kids, right? And they're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And they go through this elaborate plan and they're in this nostalgic place. And then it shows up and they're like, ah, do it. And they're like, no, the girl's in there. Ah, fuck it, do it anyway. And, oh shit, it doesn't work. Now what are we going to do? So I do like that it has this setup. And it's not like they set it up from the beginning of the movie. So it's not like it's a huge thing that doesn't pay off. And I just think it's kind of like the deal with the nerdy, friend that he doesn't sleep with her eventually. He does sleep with her eventually, but not right when you think he's going to. I just like that it teases you a little bit and it's like, oh, here's how they're going to get away. And then you're like, oh, just kidding. It's not going to work. So yeah, I don't know. I was endeared by it, I guess.
Yeah, I like it because to me, I'm like, well, they're kids. Like, how great is their plan going to be?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, good for them. They'll get all the extension cords and shit. Like, I wouldn't be able to come up with that many extension cords, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't work. All right, whatever.
And I also like the setting. I like the setting that it's like in Detroit.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Now, that was one of the things that I thought was, I was like, I don't know if I need to have them say 8 Mile because I just think of Eminem whenever I hear that. You know, but I was like, okay, I guess that does ground me. And I do know that it's in Detroit and it obviously wasn't a sticking thing, but that did stick out to me, that one line.
But I do believe 8 Mile is like, it's not the equivalent, but it's sort of like Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, sure.
It's a pretty famous street.
Yeah. If they would have said like, you know, Hampton Avenue, I'd have been like, where the fuck is that? What does that have to do with anything? Why even mention it?
Yeah. So it's like, it's a famous block and it's pretty much known, I think, as the area where it's like, don't cross that road.
Yeah. If they would have said, hey, we just passed Famous Street Boulevard. You know, that's the same equivalent, I guess, to where it's just, yeah. Like, hey, here's where we are in case you were wondering.
Yeah, exactly. And so I like that. I do like the movie that, like a horror movie set in Detroit. And I'm like, I don't know of too many of those.
Yeah. Well, Only Lovers Left Alive isn't a horror movie, but that was the most recent one that I've seen that was in Detroit.
True. Yeah. But I like that this also has both like the suburban area and then the rundown Detroit.
Isn't that funny though that both of the movies were like, dang, Detroit's a shithole. They're just like,
I think both the movies
are clear.
Well, I think both the movies and also like Lovers, not even Lovers Left Alive was also like, this place is beautiful if you really look at it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I also love the cabin, lake cabin scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that when Annelle was watching that, she's like, oh, no, don't go there. It was just like,
yeah, so what did she think? Because I was hoping she would join us for this. So what did she think of the movie?
Yeah, she really liked it. She was definitely freaked out. She was like, she is more of a sucker for the jump scares. So when it's creepy, she, you know, will be creeped out by it. But I feel like she can shake that easier than... the jump scares will really get her and she'll do a little like shriek and then God damn it right afterwards, you know.
Or, How does she do with the 7 foot tall man?
No, she did not like that. It was, oh fuck, you know, kind of a reaction. It was a
perfect,
you know, it was, you know, I sent Cameron a picture when we were watching, I think it was Babadook. It was one of those movies from the first one. And that was when she was just very mildly scared. Her reaction, like the look on her face was much more intense than that. She had like the shoulders up, the face scrunched down, and like the sort of tensed look on her face, like, oh shit, something's gonna happen. That was how she spent the 100 minutes. So
perfect.
Yeah. So it wasn't, there wasn't as much, you know, like when we watched, The Taking of Deborah Logan, that has a lot of, has a lot more cheap, scares in it. And so she was more audibly upset by that one, but she was definitely, enjoying it and creeped out, and, she had a good time with it.
Yeah. I think I also love the reveal, the first reveal of the It, which is like the nude woman like, below the parking structure, just walking.
So disturbing. Anything that, that technique of, or that idea of someone just in the background, slowly moving toward you. It has that whole, you know, T2 or the Borg or what, you know, just that whole emotionless, unstoppable, slow moving at times, but just cannot be halted sort of.
Well, that's all the way back to Halloween.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you didn't see him in plain view as much, I guess.
No,
and,
you didn't.
And so that wasn't, you know, cause he'd always pop out and then, you know, you couldn't stop him, but, you didn't have to see him. And that's much scarier for me, seeing someone and not being able to do anything about it than having someone pop out at you. Cause you're like, oh, I'm scared. Now I'm dead. As opposed to, oh shit, this thing, look at it. It's way over there and it's still walking towards me.
And I also love the way the movie looks. I love the way it's shot. I love, speaking of that sequence, the shot of the camera mounted on the wheelchair. Mm-hmm. So when he's pushing her, you see it like right over their shoulders.
Uh-huh.
As they're running.
What did you think of that guy? We didn't really mention him. The spreader.
Well, I love the thing that you could think about is like, he did this and then tied her up and had to tell her, which makes me think he must have had how many people for it to keep coming back to him.
Yes.
That he finally had to take the course of tying someone up to tell them.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought, okay, well, he definitely knows what he's doing because this has failed before.
Yeah.
And I really liked, the guy at the end's idea to go see a prostitute. I was like, oh, good idea. Do that. And then he's driving away, and I was like, oh, that's dumb. I was like, what are you doing? Well, you can't take that money with you, buddy. Just shell it out.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about, like, that's the other thing. Like, a movie like this comes out, and people go like, why don't you just fly to Australia? As if, like, this 19-year-old has all this extra income.
Yeah, well, they don't have to go to school, at least. Didn't seem like any of them had any schooling to go to or jobs.
She was at school the first time we went to her.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And those kids worked at the ice cream shop.
That's right. You're right. When Granny came to come get her, and that was also disturbing.
Yeah, there's something about seeing an old woman in like hospital gown clothing.
Their little walker with Nerf tennis balls on, with the tennis balls at the bottom, is what I kept imagining.
Yeah, that was the good thing too. It was like the casting of whatever was going to be the It. They did a good job of making all of them like pretty unsettling in a way.
Yeah. What do you think that is? You think that's just makeup, or do you think it's just the way that the scene is put together?
I think it's probably just the unsettling nature of someone walking towards you anyway, like silently just staring at you.
Yeah. Just and then the staring, also, for sure.
Yeah. And then also like, it's not like it ever picked anybody, for lack of a better term, attractive.
Sure.
It was always someone that looked like they were lacking sleep, disheveled.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because it was going through dirt and grass.
Yeah, and just,
Little children became a little kid and roared at her.
Ugh. Oh yeah, that creepy little thin kid.
Yeah.
Yikes. And I was so glad to not see the transformations from one thing to the next.
I agree.
Because I feel like that's such a, like an easy thing to fall into or to just decide to do. It's like, oh, if we show him changing, then the audience will be one step ahead. I was glad that it was like a, you know, almost like a third person limited to where we couldn't tell what was going on other than what was happening with her.
Cause it would have been very easy for it to have like a sound effect associated with it that we hear later.
Yes.
And we're like, it's in the house. I do want to talk about the nude version of it standing on a roof.
Ugh. The dude. Standing on the roof? Was that supposed to be her dad?
I don't know if at that point it was or not.
I don't know who it was. Not that it matters, but I was like, what is it doing? It's just up there naked? Oh, man, that's unsettling. Oh, that's what I would rename the movie, just unsettling.
Unsettling, the motion picture.
Fucking, jeez. It's a tough watch in the best way.
Yes.
You know? Mm.
I think the score, I mean, we talked a little bit about it, but I think the score is, like, really good. It's a really great driving around score.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. This is kind of like how we talked about Your Next being a Cameron Rice script.
Mm-hmm.
This is the sort of score I would think. Like, if I thought of a film that isn't super current in terms of sound, is a little bit throwbacky but still has some horror elements, this is what I would think of. I bet Cameron's going to dig that.
You know? It hits all the buttons.
Yeah, and that's what's funny is, you know, there's a few other people that I've recorded with enough to where I'm like, it's not just are they going to like the movie or not. It's, oh, yeah, I bet they're really going to dig on this supporting actor's choice right here. Or I bet they're really going to like this film score. You know, it's like that's how you can really get into someone's taste. Is when you're picking out those sorts of things.
Oh yeah. Well, also it's like it's that thing too of like, I don't know, just knowing what you like and knowing early.
Sure. Oh sure.
I love the cornfield scene when she drives into the cornfield because she almost hits a truck.
Yeah, and I don't know that I've ever been more nervous when someone's woken up in a hospital.
Oh, I know. You're like, no. Oh shit. Can't walk.
There's only one way out. Oh no. I'm like, fuck your injury. Like, get out of there.
Yeah. As a whole, like, I feel like it's a super solid movie. And I like seeing, like what you said, like people I don't recognize. Now, the main actress, she was the main actress in The Guest, which I know you haven't seen yet.
Oh yeah. That is on the list. That's supposed to be an Ellen I's next, Podshot movie.
So you'll recognize her there. And she just got wrapped up. She just like this, I think The Guest and this, though there are two big indie movies, I think is one of those things where people noticed her now.
Oh, okay.
So she just wrapped up. She's like one of the leads in Independence Day 2.
Oh, I just saw that as you were finishing that sentence. That's interesting.
So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you're about to blow up. We're finding you right when you're about to blow up big.
Hmm. Well, good. I mean, good for her. Hopefully she, you know, gets a lot of recognition. I mean, wow, she's really young. Born in 93.
Yep.
Sheesh. No, I mean, I hope she does. She does good things. I don't know that it's not like she had a role to where she had the most asked of her or something.
Well, I think acting genuinely terrified is not the easiest thing.
Yeah.
And I think she does a good job of like truly acting like
the tear in the hospital. The tear in the hospital. That's her money sequence right there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Cause you don't know. You don't want to look like you're a crazy person in front of a doctor.
Right. Oh man. She was in that gem Labor Day with Winslet and Brolin.
Oh, that's right. I never saw it.
Wow. I'm glad I didn't see that.
Never got to it. But, it's a movie I truly love. Like I love seeing people I don't recognize, people that look like normal people,
mm-hmm.
which is something you get to see in horror movies, even like low budget action movies, they're still going to hire really attractive people to fight each other. Right. Or grizzled men in their 50s. One or the other.
Those are your choices. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really had a good time with it. I didn't, you know, it's usually a great sign or a really, really bad sign when I look in my notes and I just have a couple of things written down. If I have a lot of notes, it means that either I'm really confused or I have a ton to say, but here I was very much engrossed by the film and didn't want to take the time to write a bunch of stuff down. It was like,
because you never know, you're going to miss an it.
Yeah. I was like, well, shit, I can write, you know, I know what's going on. I can remember all that stuff. I don't need to write that down. You know,
and I still need to see the director's other movie, the Myth of the American Sleeper.
Oh, you've not seen that.
No.
Oh, I've seen that. That is, it's good. It's more interesting, I think, than good, though.
Okay.
You know, like, it's an interesting concept. I like this much more.
Okay. I'm very interested to see what happens with, what his next feature is going to be. I don't know what it is, but.
Yeah, I don't think that's been, Yeah, that hasn't been decided upon, it doesn't look like. But yeah, it's set up like a documentary, but it's not a documentary.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
kind
of
a movie. But it's interesting. I think I saw it at the time. I think it was on Netflix.
And I think it's also maybe worth noting too, the little joking spat him and Tarantino got into. Did you read about this?
No, I didn't hear about it.
So Tarantino, being Tarantino, did this famous interview, I think for the New York Times or something like that. And then, of course, they asked him, they're like, what movies do you like? This, that, and the other. And he was like, It Follows was close to being a great movie. And then he was someone that got really nitpicky about the rules of the creature and the third act.
Oh,
and all this other stuff. And so the director put on Twitter, he was like, hey, QT, I definitely have some notes for your movies as well.
Oh, nice.
But then he wrote back. He wrote a second tweet. He was like, he goes, I'm just kidding. I'm a huge Tarantino fan because I'm sure he knew the internet was going to go ape.
Fuck you. How dare you?
But yeah, and then a buddy sent that to me. He's like, what do you think about that? And I'm like, I don't agree with Tarantino on everything.
Yeah, really. Just because he's made a lot of movies that are good doesn't mean that he knows everything about everything. You know what I mean?
But it got people talking about the movie, and I'm sure it got a lot of people seeing the movie who hadn't seen it.
Here you go. I mean, if nothing else, hopefully more people will see it. I saw that it did really well.
Oh, yeah.
To the box office.
Yeah, it did. It was one of those cases where it did really well in its limited release and then opened wide. And because it wasn't the biggest movie of the week, everyone was like, what a failure. And you're just like, good gosh.
You're like, unbelievable. It cost $2 million to make is the guess.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, it's made about $15 million off of a $2 million budget.
And even if you double that for print and advertising, yeah, it's $4
million. $4 million. So you're still 11 in the black.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's doing great on like VOD now and stuff like that.
Sure.
Sheesh. Like it did well enough. It was supposed to originally come to VOD like a week after it came to theaters, and it did well enough that they scrapped that plan.
Well, Cameron, isn't this what we've been asking for, though? Isn't this the type of movie that we've been looking for? Like, it's an original movie. It's 100 minutes, right? That's a little bit longer than what you're usually calling for. But it is a film that doesn't cost a lot, doesn't have a huge actor behind it, and it's just a quality movie.
Yep, and something where it's simple and it's well-structured, but I didn't know what was going to happen next.
Yeah. Like, it's familiar enough, but it's still able to surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what... I mean, the whole rules of the creature... Look, it's coming after them, and it can change shapes. The end. Fuck your rules. Like, what rules?
You got disagreement out of me.
You know? I mean, that's all the rules that I needed. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's coming after her, and it's going to fucking break her leg in half if it finds her, or it's going to hump her, one or the other.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. All right, well, anything else about It Follows, Mr. Rice?
I don't think so. I think if anyone hasn't seen it, check it out. I mean, I think it's a good holiday Halloween season movie.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely agree. You can get it on Netflix disc as of right now is where it's available, and on Amazon. So, if you have any comments, suggestions, or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, specifically for Podshots, just like last time when Cameron was on and we talked about Masters of the Universe, you could email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You could follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you could follow me. I'm @ericwilliams79. We also have a Facebook page where you could like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. And if you wanted to help us out a little bit, you could head over to Amazon.com and search for our wish list. It's full of movies that we want, equipment that we need, and a whole host of other goodies. In your case, you're in the giving mood, just search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. So I do want to thank Cameron for coming on last week and this week and next week and discussing all of these horror films. If they wanted to hear more from you or go see you or anything like that, where could they find you?
The best thing to do is go to twitter.com/JurassicAlien. Pretty much you'd see me there posting about movies, horror movies a lot lately, obviously, but also wrestling talk and stuff like that.
Well, you could see Cameron as John Cena. That's fun.
Yep, that happened in a UCB show. I got to stand next to the real Dolph Ziggler while I played fake John Cena.
That's good. Looking good in his photos. All right, so thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with another co-host and another film.